Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand.
Something has to give. The two longest Grey Cup droughts go head-to-head at Grey Cup 107 in Calgary. For more leading to Grey Cup Sunday, it's Rod Peterson.
Welcome to Hour 2 of the Rod Peterson Show, everybody. Friday morning, Football Friday of Grey Cup Week, episode number 121. Recognizing number 21s. And 21's a sensational number, by the way, for sports figures. Peter Forsberg, Ezekiel Elliott, Simone Lawrence, Deion Sanders, Roger Clemens, Patrick Peterson.
My buddy Paul Waldo.
Paul Waldo. In that vein.
Yep.
Alan Ford, as Lynch just said. Josh Holden. So number 21 is big. And as Leaf fan producer Clark has checked in with, Marius Cherkowski of the Toronto Maple Leafs. Oh, yeah, he fits in that vein for sure. Chris Best with us. How you doing, Bestie?
I'm doing excellent, Roddy. How about you?
Good. Well, real good, man. We're sitting here on a Friday morning talking Grey Cup.
Exactly.
What's better?
Grey Cup week.
How you doing, Lynch?
Real good.
Okay, good. We're going to get into all of Bestie's analysis in a minute, but Mike Abelmeshrick's been waiting. He is at Grey Cup week in Calgary, and from the photos that he sent us, and we rolled them earlier on in the rollout for Flooring Superstore, he was everywhere at Grey Cup last night, and we got him today. Hey, there he is. Good morning, Abu. How are you? Happy Grey Cup Friday.
What?
What happened to your nose?
What? I don't know. I forgot. I don't think I ever knew. No, it hasn't been that kind of week yet, but those kind of festivities for me are going to get started tonight because I've been
Coach
busy.
Dad.
Yeah.
Good for you. Well, what? Well,
yeah,
listen.
No, but I've been everywhere. Calgary's a big city with lots of places to see.
That's my point. Let's go chronologically here. Last night, it looked like you were in the Saddle Dome, and you sent pictures with Cody Fajardo, D-Max, Demetrius Maxey, Mike Benavides, John Murphy. Take us through your night last night.
Well, I dropped my daughter off at dance, and then I went to the CFL Awards. So that when you're saying I everywhere, I really was. Got there a little bit early, and then just got to see the. Actually, I thought I was in the wrong place at first, because it's not often you go to a CFL event where there's 100 people and I don't know anybody. But then Huff started coming, and then Dickie showed up. Big Dickie. Sorry. You know what I mean.
Yes. Continue. Who is that by name?
And then D-Max came in. I sent you that picture of D-Max, and holy cow, he lost the Chris Best. But
there's hope.
Yeah, just all the names were there. caught up with Wade Miller, Kyle Walters. I saw J.O. and Wade Miller talking for a second, and my worlds collided because I could never imagine those two guys actually having a conversation. It's like two of your ex-girlfriends or something like that. You know what I mean? Everybody was there. You know, I shook hands with John Cornish, but his hand was covered in gold and jewels. Every finger had a ring on it, and it was just a great experience. Like you said, everyone was there.
You photobombed Cody Fajardo, and he seemed uncomfortable that you worked your way into those photos. So, talk about that.
Well, that was kind of my thing. Like, it was a fan event, right? And you know, you go up to talk to a friend or someone that you kind of know, and you end up, you know, you don't want to be rude and interrupt, right? So. It kept happening, you know. It happened to so many people. So I know you wanted some pictures. So then I just started photobombing myself, like interrupting other people's pictures, because you know, it doesn't take much to entertain me. So that was kind of my night. And then you know, you go and you talk to the guys later, because I could have sent you 100 pictures of me and Cody or me and J.O.
Did you tell Cody you're an old lineman at least, kind of like getting his good graces?
No, you know what it was, though? Like, I know a lot of these guys. I haven't been playing for 10 years, but it took, and I've lost 80 pounds. So it took a couple double takes for some people to, you know, a couple of people just started signing my shirt and then realized that I was me. But anyways.
Have you spent much time around Bomber people, Winnipeg people? How are they feeling?
There's more Rider people here, if you're wondering, that
okay.
that I've seen about. But you know, I was talking to J.O. last night, and there's not that buzz that was there. So apparently, a lot of people just got here last night or are getting here today. You know what? Most of my talk yesterday wasn't really around football. I kind of felt like the guys, you know, get that all day from media guys. And you know, if you really want to just talk about football, we can go. You know, you can go anywhere. And I talked to Lapo about just, you know, how he's enjoying his time with his family here and how it's, you know, different than other times because it's been his third or fourth time here. You know, talk to his wife. Those are the stories that I'm more interested in. The game is going to take care of itself, you know. Yeah, you're right. Hamilton, the better team. Have they been tested? Have they been playing in a weak East? You know, for me, Winnipeg's that team of destiny. I really think that they're going to just put it all together at the right time. The Calero-Strebler situation at quarterback, if you know anything about me, I don't like having two quarterbacks. As an offensive lineman, I want to know who my leader is, and that's it. But, man, they got this working, and I wouldn't want it for next season, or I wouldn't want to build a team around two quarterbacks, but it works, you know. Both guys don't have the starting quarterback ego coming in because neither one of them were starters coming in.
They have those complementary skills, though.
Well, that's what I mean. I mean, Strebler's got that 0 to 7 yards down on lock, and Caleros has got that deep ball on lock. But neither one of them can seem to do the other's job. Furthermore, to not just their skill set, but Or their skill set taking defensive reps around away from Hamilton, you know, thinking about anytime you can make a defense think, anytime you can make a football player think, you've done your job. And if the Hamilton secondary needs to say, okay, that's the quarterback that's in the game right now, I need to do this, they're thinking.
Abu, I thought you were getting furniture yesterday.
Oh, this is downstairs. Oh. Everything's upstairs, and okay. Yeah, me and my 13-year-old daughter couldn't get the couches past the garage. But hey, you do what you
can. Way to put her to work.
Yeah, what? Yeah, you're earn your adults, keep. Not kids. Here.
Earn your keep. Okay, this is the last we'll talk to you. So keep the photos rolling if you can. We'll be putting on our social media, and thanks for fitting us in, Abu. I know it's a busy time for you. Enjoy yourself.
Have fun.
Yeah, well, I'll get you some pictures over the next couple of days, and we'll talk about it on Tuesday when I'm back.
Sounds good. Thanks, Abu. Have fun. Look at that. Coach Dad. The best. People won't forget that image probably all weekend long. Mike Abu Meshrick joining us from Grey Cup Week in Calgary. Bestie, as a football guy, and you've played in many Grey Cups, how much are you following what's going on in Calgary this week, both football-wise and everything else?
Well, honestly, up to this point, it's mostly just distractions. Like, you know, all this stuff, the player awards, that's all like fun stuff. But for the actual players playing the game, these are all just kind of distractions they have to kind of go through in order to get to the game. I was talking to a couple of guys I know over on Winnipeg, and they were just saying, like, just telling them, like, you know, just endure it, just get through, get your lift in when you can, get your film in when you can, because you're just going to have to manage these distractions and get ready for the game. And then once you hit probably tomorrow, it's like, it's just any other playoff game. So it's kind of, I don't really focus too much on the player awards and that sort of stuff. I kind of focus more on the Saturday, Sunday, the last little hurrah before the actual game happens.
Well, Darren DuPont is working on a graphic over there of all our picks, and I've said Winnipeg, and I've never been in a situation like this where my heart says one thing and my head says something totally different, but I'm going to go with Winnipeg. Mm-hmm. What are you going with?
I think the intensity they showed last week, I think what Winnipeg showed on our field, and they came in here and frankly kicked our butts. Like, you know, I know the score was pretty close, but in what I saw, like, it was two different effort levels. I would say if Winnipeg keeps that up, I'm thinking it's a Winnipeg thing. Hamilton's a great season team all year, but they're not as battle tested, and they're not ready for quite the war that Winnipeg's going to be bringing on this Sunday.
Got that, Darren? He's putting them all in over there. It's a pro Winnipeg show.
It kind of hurts me to say that, though, because, I mean, that's our rival and all, but, like, that's just how I feel. What I saw last week, that's what I feel. I hate to cheer for Winnipeg, but that seems to be how it is.
It won't bother me because you're going to see the images of Paul Lapolice. You're going to see the images of Richie Hall. And you played for those guys.
I don't play for Winnipeg. Well, I played for those guys.
No, yeah, for those two.
Yeah.
And Zach Caleros. You've Patty been around Neufeld. Alumni events with him. Patty Neufeld, of course. Like, now I'm convincing you that it's going to be easier, right? How about you, Frenzy? Have we nailed him down for a pick yet, Darren?
Yep, Winnipeg. What I think is going to happen is, I think Winnipeg's going to win because they just have things happen right now at the right time. They beat Calgary 35-15 at the end of the year. They beat the Saskatchewan Rough Riders in a game we should have won. I think things are just rolling Winnipeg's way. It's a terrible drought for them. It's 1990, the last time they won. In between, they lost four. And they're all upset in Winnipeg about losing. A couple of years ago, they were supposed to win, but they didn't. Then again, this year, they're supposed to win. Then it looked like it was going to fall apart. Now it's come back. Their resurgence has really got the people in Winnipeg enthused. And I just think that Mike O'Shea will be able to make something happen in the fourth quarter that's strange and weird that'll win the game.
Players will decide that, in my opinion.
Well,
coaches.
He'll make the call.
Experience matters a lot in these sort of games, though, because you got to be able to kind of, you know, weather the storm in these sort of things. A lot of stuff happens in Grey Cup, so that experience is really helpful. And obviously, O'Shea, I mean, he's about as old a hand as there is out there in terms of experience of these sort of events.
We have had a lot of Winnipeg perspective all week, and Chris Walby's coming up, but we're going to Grey Cup week right now. Mike Morielli is with us, Ticats legend, member of the 99 Grey Cup championship team. Commissioner of the CEBL, and I'm look at him smiling. He's like, "Oh yeah, you guys, what are you thinking?" Oh,
well, I am. I'm excited about this one. I mean, this is a. I'm mildly conflicted. I'm not going to lie to you. I am, a very good friend of Mike O'Shea, but I am a Hamilton Ticat through and through. And obviously, being a Hamiltonian and being born and raised there and playing for the hometown Cats and happily one of the last people to win a Grey Cup in Hamilton. It's overdue. It's time to pass that torch. But I think it's going to be a tremendous game. The fact that, you know, the storylines within this game between Caleros or, you know, Shea and Steinhauer and you know, the players that have gone back and forth and the fact they haven't won collectively, you know, in 48 years. This is going to be a good one. I'm really hoping it will anyways.
You've been talking about this all week. I don't know what the back feed is. I'll just keep going here. Just tell our viewers what you've been talking about. I mean, we've seen it. You guys, it's a wire-to-wire. You're in first place all year for the most part. And now it's just one more game to finish it off where Winnipeg's just up and down. Their fans have been on and off the bandwagon. Two totally different teams in terms of that matchup. How do you see that playing out?
Well, you know, it's a great cup. So all that's off the table. And, you know, the fact that Hamilton has had just a magical year, it will go down in history, 15-3, undefeated at home. You look at what they did in the awards side last night. I mean, it is obvious that they have accomplished a ton and are probably really deserving of hoisting the Grey Cup on Sunday. However, this is the CFL. This is the Grey Cup, single elimination, and you're done. And, you know, Mike O'Shea and the Winnipeg Blue Bombers has his team moving in the right direction. They're winning games when it counts, and that's really all that matters. So the regular season doesn't matter. The awards don't matter. Winning on Sunday matters. And you have two very good coaches with two very good teams. I would say, you know, I think most would agree that athletically the Ticats are the better team across the board. But in big games, big players come up and make big plays. So it remains to be seen what happens. But my hope, it's a classic.
We haven't heard much about the crowd there. Are the fans there? Is there a lot of noise and joviality so far? Or is that still too early? Expect that in the next 2 days?
Well, let me tell you how sad this is, guys. I do 21 games all year as the, you know, the radio voice alongside Marshall Ferguson. And then come Grey Cup time, and I'm sitting at home. So we don't get to do the games because TSN takes it over, and I think Rod Black and Julio Caravata are doing it. I'm actually still back in Ontario because I'm going to be on the panel for the Vanier Cup on Saturday. So my hope is I can squeeze out after that and get into Calgary to be able to take in part of the action. I'm a little somber at the moment because of it, because I've had a ton of fun over the years as a player, as a fan, et cetera. At the Grey Cup. So I have to live through what I see on TV and what I hear from everybody else. But I'll be watching on Sunday, whether it's in Calgary or at home here.
Well, tonight's kind of the big night for festivities anyway, so you're going to be missing out on that. That's the fun night.
Rub it in.
Well, Mike, I mean, you're a great university guy too, so I understand. And then the Vanier Cup people love you. You've been doing that a long time. Remember seeing you in 2011 at the Vanier Cup, Roxy. But listen, one more. The Ottawa Blackjacks. What can you tell me about the newest team in the CEBL? Were you in the nation's capital for the announcement the other day?
Yeah, just got back. We spent about 3 days there. Really exciting. It has been on our radar, Ottawa has, for quite some time. And be able to get a team in the nation's capital is important. There's a ton of rich basketball tradition in Ottawa, as most people know. Carleton comes to mind, of course, University of Ottawa, even Algonquin College. But, you know, we also want to reach into Gatineau and the rich history there. Basketball participation rates have been booming. The Raptors run last year and what has happened in previous years is a testament to that. The Ottawa market's great. Being able to play, you know, in the building attached right there to TD Place, playing at TD Arena right there, that just what I would say is a world-class sports entertainment district that OSEG has put together, is of huge importance, and it grows our reach, you know, now further east as we get prepared to end up and get into Quebec as well. So there's a lot of really good things happening here. We, you know, for lack of a better comparison, we kind of want to be like the CFL of basketball, although we turn it on its head, and it's predominantly Canadian, 70% Canadian, because the talent level here, at least from basketball, is tremendous. Our world rankings in basketball are right up there with some of the best in the world. So we are riding that wave. From a business opportunity, it made sense to do it now. We got a year under our belt. We're really excited about the Ottawa market. And we're excited about going national. And we'll have another big announcement next week about a media partnership, schedule release, and news about championship weekend, which was last year in Saskatoon, as you know. And next year is going to be in another place that we'll announce. But we're really excited about what's happening here.
Mike, we're big fans, as you know, of the CEBL. So keep it rolling and let us know. We'd be happy to get the word out for you. And it's a busy weekend for you. So safe travels, good luck, all the rest. And we'll chat with you down the road.
Well, thank you. If any of you guys make it out to Grey Cup, please pour back a couple for me, will you? Just make me feel. Yeah.
Mike Morielli, I can imagine. Thanks, Mike. I can't imagine, guys, your team's in the Grey Cup and you got to be on the other side of the country.
Yeah, that's hard to figure out.
That would be tough. Yeah. But Mike's also been doing the Vanier Cup, like I say, for a long time. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just like Dunk, having to be in two places at once doesn't work out too well. More with Chris Best and John Lynch when we come back. Chris Walby coming up today. It's Friday of Grey Cup week, and we've been continuing our Grey Cup week coverage all week long. Back with more after this timeout. You're watching The Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Hi, I'm Joshua John Batista. I'm a staff radiation oncologist at the Alan Blair Cancer Center. CT simulators are essential for all modern radiation treatments. Before a patient can undergo the treatment planning process, the CT simulator is the first step. So it allows us to plan and deliver radiation treatments for thousands of patients.
Our biggest sale of the year has returned. The greatest auto sale is back at Capital GMC. We have over 1,000 new and used vehicles to choose from with savings up to $17,000. And for a limited time, we're offering finance rates as low as 0% on new and used vehicles. Buy or lease a new or used vehicle during the greatest auto sale for your chance to win your payments for a whole year. Run down, walk down, bust down, or fly down. Just get yourself down to Capital's greatest auto sale.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of The Rod Peterson Show.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Cheers to the 16 guys who never back down. And to the smooth, refreshing beer with a real beer taste. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
Your number one source ahead of Grey Cup 107, The Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back, everybody. Happy Friday morning. Our Grey Cup week continues with our coverage from here in the bunker, going back and forth from Calgary and all across the country. But a sports update. Tyler Toffoli scored twice as the LA Kings beat the visiting Edmonton Oilers 5-1 last night. That was not a good name, a game for the Oil. Connor McDavid, though, did score to extend his point streak to 9 games. The Maple Leafs are back in the win column after a coaching change. Sheldon Keefe won his NHL debut as Toronto beat the host Arizona Coyotes 3-1. Things are getting bad for the Flames. Jordan Binnington made 40 saves as the St. Louis Blues beat the Flames 5-0 last night. Flames have lost 6 in a row. Elias Pettersson scored one of his team's 5 power play goals, and the visiting Vancouver Canucks beat the Predators 6-3, and the Winnipeg Jets lost on the road 5-3 against the Dallas Stars. Thursday night football, Deshaun Watson threw 2 touchdown passes to DeAndre Hopkins and finished with 298 yards to help the Houston Texans beat the Indy Colts 20-17 to take the AFC South lead. A lot of folks watching that game out of Houston saying, we can't wait to get down there in 2 weeks' time on the inaugural Rod Peterson Show VIP sports trip. Right, Dupes? Everybody's excited to get down. 2 live shows, by the way, from Houston. This sports update for Wendell Clark's in Saskatoon. See you at Wendell's. And good morning to everybody out there watching, as they do every day. And also for SeatGiant.ca, stop paying U.S. dollars for sporting events and concerts. We have all major sporting events and concert tickets in Canadian dollars. Enter promo code RPSHOW and get discounts for RPSHOW fans. Visit SeatGiant.ca. Chris Best and John Lynch are with me in the bunker here. Frenzy's leaving shortly because he's got to go for lunch with the old boys club. Right, Lynch?
Right.
So we'll get your comment in a minute. But Justin Dunk was with us last hour talking about the rumor of a coaching change in Saskatchewan at the offensive coordinator position. It's a rampant rumor. I'm not sure I believe it. You got to understand what it's like in this town. There's always rumors, right, Lynch?
Oh,
like you never know what to believe.
Unbelievable.
Justin Dunk says there's nothing imminent. He believes riders will take their time. I wrote it down. There could be some tweaks to the staff. He definitely wants to keep Shivers, but Steve Walsh and McAdoo should be credited for the development of Cody Fajardo. That's what Justin Dunk said last hour. Now, Chris Best is an analyst on the Rider radio crew. He did not do the post-game call-in after the West final.
Mm-hmm.
But you said you had some thoughts on how that went down.
It hurts my feelings, honestly, because like I admit Winnipeg outplayed us, but like we had a chance. We were right there just to tie the game and put in overtime, and who knows what happens in like a 50-50 game like that. But all those, I'm an O-lineman, so like those goal line plays are my specialty. That's what I used to do. That's where I used to make my money. And to run those sort of plays from the goal line, it kills me. It absolutely kills me. You got to give yourself a chance for success with the game on the line. You got to call your best plays. You got to bring your best personnel in there. There's no reason to be sneaky about that because the sneakiness clearly didn't work.
Well, why would he do it then?
I think he was just trying to be sneaky. He was trying to like say, I'm not going to switch personnel. Expect him to spread it out, and then just that's my only guess because I clearly don't agree with it. Like it was. Oh, it still makes me mad now. Yeah, it's like a week later.
Is it fireable in your mind or not?
I mean, this year we weren't expected to do this well at all this year. This was a really special year. Seeing Cody, seeing everything happen, like it was really like a fun thing to see. But like, oh, it kills me to not give yourself your best chance of success. And like that's what the coach's job is to do, is to give yourself the best chance of success, call the plays that you like, play to your strengths and their weaknesses. And that clearly wasn't it. So man, you got to have a long talking to about that one for sure because, I'm mad now. I'm really mad.
I do believe that's what's going on. I'm not sure that I believe the rumor that a coaching change is imminent. And, you know, they don't fire coaches lightly. Teams don't want to fire head coaches midseason. They don't ever want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And the head coaches don't want to make changes on their staff because that's their guys.
Who made that call?
These aren't their guys, though. These are Dickie's. I mean, these are Jones's guys, not Dickie's
guys. I still
guys.
Think that who it's the that same. Call? I think it's one of the same.
It'd be McAdoo. He's a play caller.
It's 100% McAdoo. Yeah. I get what you're saying. It's not. But I do think it is Dickinson's staff. It's funny you say that because I was up in Paradise Hill last weekend. It's 5 hours away. everywhere I go, take questions from the crowd at these events, and they keep asking, does Chris Jones get any credit for this year's team? And it reminds me of Roy Shivers and the Riders in 07. Mm-hmm. Lynch, you can chime in anytime. You can say he did or he didn't. It doesn't matter. He doesn't get a ring. His name's not on the trophy. So I'm not going to say Chris Jones would get credit for this year. And had they won a Grey Cup, he wouldn't get a ring. He didn't sign Cody Fajardo. As a matter of fact, he couldn't find a quarterback. Mm-hmm. So it's not Chris Jones' team. It's Craig Dickinson's team. That's my take on that.
Mm-hmm. And Jeremy O'Day's team.
Well, there's about 16 to 18 players on the team brought here by Jones, of course. Eh? We got to be realistic about that. Mm-hmm. Not a quarterback, of course.
But the question is, does Jones get credit?
Yeah, to some degree. I don't know how you do it.
He doesn't get full credit. He gets I agree. There's some credit there, but like this is Jeremy O'Day's team. This is Craig Dickinson's team, and they did a great job with this team. Like, yes, some of that, especially our defensive talent, was part of Jones's plan. But this is not, to say this is Jones's team, I would say that's not true.
Rider Nation has woken up, and they're writing in regarding this. Well, mind you, JR is in Cranbrook, BC, and he's a BC Lions fan. He's written in. He says, "Does Cody have a say on the coaching decision?" Not that I've ever known. I've known situations where the quarterback's been brought in by management and asked for his thoughts on the coaching staff. Bestie, you may know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. And the quarterback's spider senses go off, and he's like, is this a trap? Mm-hmm. Like, it does happen, but they're never going to answer honestly. Right? Unfortunately,
no, that's... you can't. It's not in that position.
No, but it has happened. Yeah. It's happened.
I got to head out of here. So.
Oh, you're out of here? Lynch is leaving the building.
Been a great show. Right from beginning to end.
Thanks, Frenzy.
Bye-bye.
He's out of here.
Good seeing you.
Frenzy, out! He's so delicate. I'm out of here. Time to go. Dave Spatafora writes in on Facebook. He says, rumor... ? Would be very interested if the Riders don't part ways with McAdoo. He was the main reason for the loss. Well, for all the reasons I've laid out, A, it's a rumor because it hasn't happened yet. Mm-hmm. So yes, it's a rumor. Secondly, if this was only Jeremy O'Day's decision, nobody would know until it was done. Yeah. Nobody would know. Jeremy wouldn't be telling people. And two, it's not completely far-fetched. As I talked about, George Cortez and Richie Hall were informed Grey Cup week of 2014 that they were let go.
Yep.
See you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Hey, do you see what I'm saying here, folks? Nothing surprises me. Ever.
The body work, though. I mean, like, this was a great year for McAdoo overall. Like, he was getting vilified last year because we were just not good on offense. We were pretty dysfunctional on offense last year. But this year, it's been... like, we looked much better. We had a much more functional offense. Obviously, Cody was a big part of that. But, like, to say McAdoo had nothing to do with that is not true either. So, like, I don't think this is fireable. Like, it still makes me mad. But, I think you got to learn from this, though. Like, you got to kind of have that self-scout and say, what am I calling the goal line next time? Like, on these high-leverage situations, like, what am I doing? Because, to say you're firing because of this, I don't think that's true.
It'd be very hard after a 13-win season.
Yeah.
There is something to be said for you can only take a team so far and not get over the hump, but that's usually the head coach. And that would be said about Danny Barrett, unfortunately, which was before your time. I'm sure you heard all the stories. Mm-hmm. He took the team a long ways.
Couldn't quite get over the hump, though.
Right.
But that's a multi-year process. This is the first year for Dickey, first year for J.O., you know? So getting over the hump's not really a thing yet. McAdoo's been around, I don't know, but like there's been a lot of... this is a new team this year versus the last couple of years.
Believe me, I'm not arguing. I'm just trying to examine it from all sides and see how much credence there might be to this rumor. Even if, because I do understand internally there's issues with the way the red zone offense went in the specific calls that you're talking about, but the question is it fireable? And you're explaining why, for a lot of reasons, it's not. Mm-hmm. It's still... angers you, but it's not a reason to fire somebody. Checking the poll results today of our Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center poll question. It is, who are you cheering for in the 107th Grey Cup?
A lot of conflicted Rider fans out there.
There's a lot of tormented, conflicted Rider fans. On Facebook, 54.7% of you say you're cheering for the Hamilton Tiger Cats. And you have to understand, this show isn't that popular in Hamilton. So that's a lot of Western Canadian people that just can't find it in their hearts to cheer for Winnipeg. Like this guy, anonymous texter on the Prairie Mobile text line writes in, he says, 1990 sounds so good. Keep the streak alive and then blow up the organization again. So Winnipegish. I don't want to see that happen. I'll be honest with you. Winnipeg's been very good to me. And I can just see them winning the Grey Cup, celebrating with the trophy, O'Shea and Zach, and then a graphic over top. Very Winnipegish. And they won. And I'm hoping that happens.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say it again, because we've had so many picks flying around here. You're saying Winnipeg.
I am.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I said, it hurts me to cheer for Winnipeg. I know I got buddies on the team, but still, they've been my mortal enemy for a long, long time. But I think watching Hamilton, watching Winnipeg this year, especially lately, I think Winnipeg's got that fire that Hamilton doesn't quite have, and that matters so much during the playoffs.
Mike is watching again from Maui and writes in, and he says, how can there not be a sponsor for Lynch's exit? Are you offering, Mike? We need a sponsor for Lynch leaving the building. Well, there's this whole thing, too. I mean, this is, I don't remember a Grey Cup where the story has been like this. Hamilton almost seems unchallenged all year. And when it's not like the wins were easy for them. But Mazzoli goes down. Evans comes in and doesn't miss a beat. And where was the adversity after that? Whereas Winnipeg, look at what they've been through. And why Paul Appelese is such a good coach. Matt Nichols was supposed to be the guy. Nichols probably would have taken him to the Grey Cup. He's that good.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're literally put together with spit and elastic bands.
It's true.
And you got Caleros and Strebler taking you to the Grey Cup. It is just flat out flipping remarkable.
It kind of reminds me like the Riders teams in 2009, 2010. Because we played a Montreal team that was relatively unchallenged. They were the class of the East every single year. But as we saw in 2009 and 2010, that did not mean the battle-tested Rough Riders were able to overcome what Montreal did. So, I mean, Hamilton's still a good team. They still got to go out there and play. But I think Winnipeg, I still pick Winnipeg. But, I mean, it's going to be a battle out there. And I'm excited to see it.
How is the Grey Cup different than any other game from a player's perspective?
It's very similar to the rest of the playoff games. The level of intensity is just that much higher. All the hits are harder. Everyone's just trying that much harder. No one's kind of phoning it in, so to speak. It's always, especially between the offensive line and the running backs and the defensive line and linebackers, like it is just mayhem out there. People out there trying to hurt each other. Like not twisting arms like that, but like trying to hit each other as hard as you can. It's cold out there. Everything hurts more. Like everything just feels more important. And like a CFL game already is like completely like information overload. So it's just even more, everything's up to 11 basically. So it's a lot of fun to play, and I'm so happy I got to play in a couple of them because it's you never do something like that again. There's nothing that compares.
Actually, it's interesting you say that because it was an open-ended question. Basically, you're telling me when you walk across or you're between the stripes, it's game on.
Mm-hmm.
But all the stuff that leads up to the game, the dinners, the breakfast, the this and the
distractions.
The distractions, you forget about it. When the coin's flipped, then away you go.
Yeah, pretty much. You're just trying to get through. Like, player awards, that's great. Those guys do deserve those awards. You know, like, the media breakfasts are nice because, like, someone's actually talking to the offensive lineman. That doesn't always happen. But that's not important. That's not important to those players. What's important to these players is the game on Sunday, and that's the only thing that matters this week. Everything else is just kind of, it'll come, it'll go. If they take an award home, that's nice. But, like, this is... If they take an award home and they lose, it's a negative trip. If they don't take any awards home and they win, it's the best week of their life.
So you won a Grey Cup in 2013. You lost two in 2009 and 2010.
Mm-hmm. 1-1-0-7, too.
1-1-0-7. So you're 2-2 in Grey Cups.
2-2, yep.
I always get you and Sholo mixed up in terms of who was here for what. Sholo showed up in 2008.
Sholo the year after. He was 2008, yep.
So what do you think about more, the wins or the losses in the Grey Cups?
Oh, that's a hard one because obviously we had one of the most crushing losses you possibly can have. But at the same time, 13 was so special around here to the city, to everyone. It's still special to me. They both come up. Sometimes I still get angry about 09, and sometimes I still get super happy about 13. They're just, as I said, it's just so emotional. There's just so much attached to each of these events that they're all really special in their own way.
Do you wish you were at Grey Cup week this weekend?
I do. It is a lot of fun to be a Grey Cup week. I got to go as a player association rep a couple times when I wasn't playing, and it is a lot of fun. Like the seeing the fans, going to the player parties, and like the team parties, it's a blast. There's no doubt about it. But it's not as much fun if you're not playing, to be honest. Playing in the game is way more fun than hanging around.
you feel kind of useless.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I am very grateful for the people that are sending me messages up into this morning. You know, hope to see you this weekend, or where are you at? Just got into town. What's your schedule? I'm like, not there. We will be a big part of Grey Cup coverage in the years ahead from Darren Dupont, who's sitting in the crumb corner over there, as we call it, where we have our morning meeting and crumbs fall over the floor. We will be a big part. Can we take 1 year? I think we've been doing pretty good with Grey Cup coverage here. Take 1 year off. All right. When we come back, Bomber great Chris Walby will join us, and we're going to talk a little bit about the commissioner's State of the Union address this morning at Grey Cup Week. There's some criticism coming out of Randy Ambrosi's comments. That's all ahead. You're watching The Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition, and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
I've chased adrenaline my entire life. But I'm talking fourth quarter, monster hit, crowd losing it. Nothing beats the energy of a rush game.
Your favorite movies. Your episode after episode after episode season marathon. All in one beautiful little box. With Max TV Stream from Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer, you can experience the best of live TV and movies on demand, in home or on the go. Just $99. Entertainment your way. Anyway, get your Max TV Stream media box today for just $99. Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Lives fully connected.
If you've been using an inefficient heating system for indoor or outdoor use, you might be surprised by the quality and comfort that zone-controlled infrared heaters offer. Heating Green's energy-saving infrared heaters transfer sun-like warmth directly to people and objects without noise or maintenance. Increase your comfort and decrease cost, room by room. Our silent infrared heaters are perfect for indoor and outdoor spaces. For greater comfort using less energy, contact us at heatinggreen.com.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
My name is Karen Allen. I was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2007. The treatments themselves were difficult, but the care and attention that I received was phenomenal. But what if, with the advances in technology that have been made, having that better equipment would increase survival rates by 1, maybe 2%. That's people.
Mike O'Shea and the Bombers against Orlando Steinhauer and the Ticats. For more leading to Grey Cup Sunday, it's Rod Peterson.
Welcome back, everybody. Grey Cup week continues here on the Rod Peterson Show. Just a quick check of sports on tap for the Tap Pub and Eatery in Regina. Regina's only drive-through beer and wine store. And our next guest would like that, I think. Old Bluto. 9 games in the WHL tonight, including the Pats at Swift Current Broncos. Wheat Kings home to Calgary. Prince Albert skates into Lethbridge tonight. The Moose Jaw Warriors are at Medicine Hat. The Blades road trip continues there at Everett. And the Winnipeg Ice are at Tri-City. And the SJ last night, Humboldt knocked off Weyburn 2-1 in Humboldt at the EPA. And 2 games in the NHL tonight, New Jersey at Pittsburgh and the New York Rangers at Ottawa. That's sports on tap tonight for the Tap. So out we go. And I will preface this by saying, Chris Walby, I am full on Bombers this weekend for the 107th Grey Cup. And I got to catch where you're at, man. You are a CFL legend. I would think you are at Grey Cup today. You going to the game?
You know what? I wish I could go to the game. I was, I thought it might have a possibility this year, obviously with TSN 1290. But they're taking the better looking guys out there, and they're leaving me and Lefty Old Westwood to do a 2-hour pregame show. So that's our contribution to the game. But the nice thing is, after that, I can come back here and enjoy a few with my family and friends, and we'll come back here and watch the big screen.
Well, and hopefully celebrate, Chris. I mean, how are you feeling going into this game as a Bomber legend and Bomber fan, and as a guy that's been following this so close all year long?
Well, I think that this is the best matchup. Obviously, the hottest team are the Bombers right now going in, especially after knocking off Calgary and that crazy game in Saskatchewan. So I think they've got all the momentum going right now. But when you're going against a team that's coached by Orlando Steinhauer, I think is one of the bright minds in the CFL, and they're 15-3, and they've walked away with all the awards yesterday, basically. It's a tough battle. If you look at, where they are statistically, and a lot of times I don't like to put too much in that, but you have to now. I mean, they're number one offense, number one points allowed defense. They got a couple big game breakers, and you got to be loving the fact that Dane Evans is playing as well as he is.
Well, you know what? Here's one for you. And let's quote our buddy Lumpy, Brett McNeil, your good friend. Games are won in the box. So everybody's talking about Caleros versus Evans. Ticats have an all-star secondary. What's Andrew Harris going to do? What about the line play? You must have spent some time examining that.
I sure have. You know what? I'm going to tell the boys, I wish they would do this, and they haven't done it for years. It drives me bloody bonkers. Why don't they put a camera on some of these guys during the game instead of showing all the, here, let's watch 8 replays of the catch. Show how these guys got the catch, how they made it, how the quarterback had time. Show the guys blocking in the trenches. That's where the game is won and lost, in the trenches. I love these guys, and I tell you right now, that's where this game will be won. Put a camera on some of these guys.
Too many fines, though. Way too many fines. No penalties in the A-gap. I know you remember that.
Oh, you know what? No foul, no flag, buddy. Come on. Listen, it's good. When you look at, I'm happy for a guy. I was surprised, actually, to tell you the truth. Chris Manziel, great football player. I actually thought it might have been a trifecta for Stanley Bryant. A little surprised by that. But having said that, I mean, he's part of a great offensive line over there in Hamilton. And obviously, when you have the number one passing attack and you've got the running game and they got all these things going on there, he's going to get a lot of votes out east.
Well, these teams don't get to the Grey Cup without being good, and I'm just very quickly running through my mind. The Ticats O-line is outstanding. The Bomber O-line's pretty good.
And I like good. Come on, baby.
No, go ahead. What? Who are you giving the edge to there?
Oh, I don't know. Well, I think, I have to give the edge to the Bombers right now just because they have such a spectacular run game. This might be one of the days that Andrew Harris says, all you guys, screw you guys. You didn't vote for me for this. You didn't vote for me that. I know all the garbage surrounding that. And then not even to make the CFLPA team. I was surprised. And then make the long snapper gets in there. Hello. But anyway, that's a different argument, different day. But I just think that he's going to be playing tough. And if Chris Jeldrick can actually contribute running the ball, that might be a big bonus. I mean, obviously, Saskatchewan did a fantastic job of not allowing him to be even a factor last game. So, but I still think Chris Jeldrick brings that added dimension. He's a 6'3", 240-pound running back that can run over people.
By the way, Travis Lule was on with us earlier explaining the CFLPA team, and he said, don't read anything into it. Half the guys don't even cast their ballots.
Isn't that something? That's an embarrassment. It really is, because it's the award that everybody, I know as a player, I got it a couple times. And you know what? You really take a lot of it out of, to me, nothing against the media, but these are guys that you played against. These are, your peers. So when you get the vote in and, somebody says you're doing this right and you get the vote, that means a lot to me. But then again, to hear stuff like that, and I know that happened because we used to get guys in there and they'd go, who is this guy? I don't even know this guy because I don't know who to vote for. And so they just, basically get the chalk out and just check. And then, some guy named Frankie Zerilli wins,
I know. It's unfortunate because it's a highly coveted award, and here's somebody telling me don't pay any attention to it. So that's their problem. But with Andrew Harris, I'm with you, but I thought he would have jammed it up everybody's posterior by now. Like, he hasn't been a factor yet in the playoffs, so is Sunday the time to do that, or do the Bombers just keep doing what they're doing?
Well, it's interesting. You see, I think he's going to be a factor. He's only had 90 yards in 2 games against Hamilton. Hamilton's done a great job, but having said that, the first game, he only carried the ball 8 times. I mean, you got a guy that led the league in the CFL rushing 3 times in a row, and you're giving a pig 3 times? Come on, boys, shake your head. So I got to wonder what's going to happen, but I don't know. Kolaris, man, I tell you what, the guy's getting stronger and stronger every game. 3-0 on the road. He's making some beautiful throws. I didn't know he was such a good touch passer on the deep ball, but oh, my God. So I got some optimism that, you know, now we don't have to just rely on that run game. You know, we can sit back there and what a tandem he's doing right now with Kenny Lawler, who had great games against Hamilton, and obviously his new chemistry with Darvin Adams.
I got a lot of respect for Lapo. He was one of my favorite offensive coordinators when he was here in 2009. I bet you he's cooking up something special to have Andrew Harris. Maybe he won't be the focal point, but he'll definitely do something special on Sunday. I bet he will.
Well, I agree with you 100%. He's one of those guys, he lives off misdirection, right? I mean, he's got guys going everywhere, this way, that way, and then he hit it up the middle, and they hit it out to the outside. I like Lapo, and it's going to be interesting, and maybe that'll be a conversation for another day, boys, is where does Lapo go? You know he's in that head coach conversation somewhere. And there's even rumors here, and of course they're being squashed that O'Shea is being courted by pinball in Toronto, and evidently Kolaris is part of the package. And the fact that his wife teaches school in Ontario, he's building a house out there. So a lot of intrigue going into this offseason.
So you have rumors in Winnipeg too? It's not just here?
No, it's everywhere, man. I mean, he's squashing him. He's saying, no, I want to be here. You know, he kind of said that I've turned down multiple offers. Well, he didn't. He's had one offer. He just turned down one offer. Now, whether that is just to say, hey, let me get rid of the business at hand, and then, you know, in the offseason, we'll sit down. I think Wade Miller, the CEO and president, thinks he's pretty confident that he can get O'Shea back on the dotted line. But you got to know that there's a lot of interest in Lapo again. Even if O'Shea stays, where does Lapo go? Does he go to B.C.? What about Jason Moss? There's a lot of guys in this coaching carousel that'll be is it going to be Rick Campbell? Just to name a few.
Of course. And it's, would he be allowed to go? And I was being facetious when I said, you have rumors too, because we're rampant here. The McAdoo's going to be fired and this is all going to happen. But this is what's fun about it.
What is McAdoo doing running a shotgun on the goal line?
Kills me.
God, all heaven. I'm like looking, I'm going, are you kidding me? Bennett goes 7 yards, and then he sits in the back, and they run him and Powell do belly button bumps in the back and get sacked. Oh my God! You know what? And then I love when Fajardo comes off and they run him on that side sweep. I hate quarterbacks running sideways. Any kind of penetration kills a play. Anybody played O-line understands that. It's garbage. You go right strong. Listen, I think we're fortunate to win that game, but that's because I think you guys shot yourself in the foot a number of times.
Wow. I think, we just opened another can of worms. But I'll let you go, Bluto. You got everybody fired up. Enjoy the game, and I hope you're celebrating Sunday night. We all really do.
All right, man. Ron, thank you guys for having me on. I love being on, guys. I'm apologizing for this damn iPad and computer, this software I got. I tell you what, you might hear a noise, and that'll be the computer flying out the window after the show.
No, it's been pretty good. You sound great. You look great. Have a great weekend.
All right, boys. You too, boys. All right, boys. Be good, brother. We'll have a couple cold ones next time we're hooking up.
I didn't realize that you and Bluto were such good buddies. Where does that go from?
He's a legend, man. I mean,
I know that, but...
I met him actually the Grey Cup multiple times. I met him, and obviously I know a bunch of guys who played with him when he was with Winnipeg there. So especially among offensive linemen, it's kind of, the CFL is a bit of a brotherhood. So, I got a lot of respect for that man, and at least he knows my name. That makes me feel good, too. So,
well, that's one problem that I have. It's, I'm going to let you go here, and we'll bring Dupes in for the overtime. We'll talk a little bit about the fact that the home broadcasters can't call the Grey Cup, and it's been that way for quite some time. That's a joke. But Abu said he walked into a room. You were here. He said he walked into a room of Grey Cup and didn't know anybody. And that's a bit of a problem with where the CFL is right now. I don't think they do a very good job of honoring the past. And, you look at the NHL had their Hockey Hall of Fame induction the other night. Legends everywhere you can look. And here's Chris Walby. The Bombers are in the Grey Cup, and he's not even invited to be there.
Mm. It's unfortunate. You do want to have those guys around. That makes the Grey Cup much more special. You want to see those guys like, oh, there's Walby. There's Miles Garrell. Like those old-time legendary guys. You want them around these events. You absolutely do.
Yeah, you want to make it special for the fans and glad to be there and make Grey Cup event. And here's a guy sitting at home, not even invited to go. So there's obviously a pet peeve of mine. But you know what? We bring them all on here. So we'll do it, right? And we'll keep doing what we're doing. Bestie, thanks for coming in, my man.
Thanks for having me.
Let's do it again soon.
Sure.
All right, Chris Best in the bunker here on Grey Cup Week. Dupes joins me for overtime next. You're watching The Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon, to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends.
Our biggest sale of the year has returned. The greatest auto sale is back at Capital Ford Lincoln. With savings up to $19,000. And for a limited time, finance rates are as low as 0% on new and used vehicles. Plus, most new vehicle purchases come with a free set of winter tires. And buy or lease a new or used vehicle during the greatest auto sale for your chance to win your payments for a whole year. Run down, walk down, bus down, or fly down. Just get yourself down to Capital's greatest auto sale.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
Quiet on the set. Paul, that means you. Now, from inside a Great Cup studio, it's Rod Peterson.
Welcome back, everybody, for the OT Refresher. The big voice guy is Rick Reagan. He's probably watching from Kansas this morning, because he always does, right? Right?
Yeah.
He just gave a shout-out to Paul, and Paul wasn't even listening. You don't care? Do you say you don't
care? I don't like the big voice guy.
You're the Roger Aldag of today's show.
Yeah.
Aldag said the other day he doesn't care who wins the Grey Cup. And you know what? He's just being honest. And all of a sudden, I get a message from the Aldag family saying, Roger's taking a bunch of heat. So can you say on the show that Roger's cheering for Winnipeg? What the hell's wrong with being honest? Roger's just being honest. He doesn't care. Why is that a problem
for
people?
His team's not in it.
His team's not in it. Doesn't care. God, people annoy me with this. He's just being honest. Dave Spatafora writes in on the Facebook wall. He says, Rod, how did you guys get to broadcast the Grey Cup? Was it different then? I know this is a personal pet peeve of yours. And I'm only looking back going, I just feel incredibly lucky. I mean, Jeff Currier, when he was the voice of the Riders for 12 seasons, in 1989, they didn't get to broadcast the Grey Cup on local radio. So yeah. Jeff said, while it was the greatest day in provincial history up till that point, it was one of the worst days of his career because he sat in the crowd at Sky Dome, didn't get to call the game. And I get it.
I can't imagine.
But the contracts change every 2, 3, 4 years. And sometimes the home team broadcasters got to do it and sometimes they didn't. And it just so happened in 2007. And it just so happened in 2013. That the local team broadcasters were able to do the games.
Yeah.
So I just got incredibly lucky. So the Go Crazy Saskatchewan or the Elation and Rider Nation would have never happened based on the way it is now.
Right.
And basically, listen, when TSN strokes a huge, huge check, they can literally do whatever they want.
Mm-hmm.
And they locked, for years, they had just TV. And now they've locked down TV and radio. So this year's broadcast crew will not include Bob Irving, the legendary voice of the Bombers, and it won't include Marshall Ferguson. And as we heard from Mike Morielli earlier on, it won't include Mike Morielli, who's been doing color for the Tiger Cats all year long. I don't want to tick any more people off than I normally do. I obviously don't have a dog in this fight, but it's very clear how disappointed Morielli was. He basically said it.
It's why you do the games. For these big moments, I can't imagine. I mean, you stepped away at the right time. I mean, you got your chance to call those two games. I can't imagine going through all of that, the ups and downs of a championship season, you know, the wins, the losses, the adversity, the triumphs, and then not be able to call the championship game. That's what you dream about, is having that championship call. So, yeah, that bugs me a lot, for sure. I mean, I understand TSN wanting to put it in their markets, and they should be able to put it in their markets and on their stations, but... yeah, that bugs me.
Well, in just about every pro league, because obviously I've examined it, because I was part of it for so long. NFL, you get to broadcast your team. NHL, you get to broadcast your team.
Yeah, I get
Major
it.
League like, Baseball, you get to broadcast your team.
Satellite radio or things like that. When you have a national broadcast, you can have the TSN guys and on the TSN stations.
Yeah, have that too.
But all of the affiliates, the regular stations that cover the team on a daily basis on our, and during the season, yeah, you shouldn't block them from doing that.
Well, and by the way, I'm talking about the way things used to be. This is the way they are now. And remember my rant from last week about how business people are running these things, not broadcasters anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the 2009 Grey Cup. Somebody brought this up, and forgive me for forgetting who or where, because I've been all over the heck. But somebody said, what did you say? It was in Paradise Hill last Saturday. They said, what did you say in the 13th man? I said, I wasn't calling the game. So there was one.
Yeah.
It was the Chorus Radio Network had it nationally, and they called me a few weeks leading up to the Grey Cup, and they said, if the Riders make it, Rod, you're going to call a half of the game. So which half would you like? And I said, I'm not calling a half of the game. If I can't call all the game, I don't want to call any of the game. And they said, well, you can't be the star of the whole broadcast. I said, that is totally not the point. Would you ask a referee to ref half a game?
Yeah.
I said, this is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. So no, I don't. Listen, I'm good. I'm good. I'll go sit in the crowd with my family. I'll be on the sidelines with the Riders, whatever. I'm not interested. And then all of us, and actually at that time, they said, we were thinking of you doing the second half. But I said, no, thanks. And then the Riders made the Grey Cup. And I called them back. I said, okay, I guess, you know, I'll do it.
Yeah.
And they said, oh, great, you're doing the first half. And I said, well, the last time we talked, it was the second half. Well, we changed our minds. So that was Calgary 2009, and I will never forget. This will go in my book that I've started working on. I've got two working titles for it. I'm not going to divulge either at this point in time. But I remember walking into McMahon Stadium. It was a beautiful day, plus nine, 2009 Grey Cup, and just emanating from the speakers, that one that dangles from the midfield at McMahon Stadium, yeah, that's playing Tonight's Gonna Be a Good Night by Black Eyed Peas. What a horrific event of foreshadowing.
Yeah.
Tonight's going to be a good night. For who? So I call the first half and then go down to the sidelines. I'm like bestie getting worked up thinking about it again.
I know.
3 minutes to go. Oh. Riders have an 11-point lead. They can't blow this. Heck, going into the fourth quarter, they had a 16-point lead. They can't blow this. 3 minutes to go. Gaynor and I are jumping up and down on the sidelines. In my mind, designing what the Grey Cup ring is going to look like. This is going to be awesome. And then it just immediately just evaporated. Well, not immediately. Slowly and painfully. And then down to the last play of the game. They miss the kick. Place goes nuts. I'm telling this at a table of people at the banquet Saturday night. And there's explosions going off. Fireworks everywhere. Riders win. People going nuts. It's like a war zone. It's like a war zone. With all due respect to the military that have actually been in war zones. It's just the closest that I've seen. It's chaos. And I'll never forget Neil Hughes coming back to the Rider bench and rifling his helmet into the bench. And I'm like, what? There was a penalty. Look down there and see all the flags. I mean, everybody had their own vantage point of it, but that was mine.
So you've done it.
So I wasn't on the radio.
So you've done it twice. They're in different areas. What's different about being up in the booth, closed off with whether it's you and Carm at the time for the Grey Cups, or being down on the sideline and thinking that it's won? Because the moment would be the same for that split second, right?
It would be the same.
But like, is it the same kind of feeling?
Sucked in both places.
No. Not sucked, but like the feeling of thinking that they've won the Grey Cup. The fireworks and being on the sideline for that, or 07 or 13 and being in the play-by-play booth on the radio for the final second of the game. What's better?
I'm not sure I understand the question. I mean, 07 was awesome.
No. Forget about the 13th man, because you didn't know about the flag when the kick went through. You thought they won.
Oh, right.
So what's a better place to be when they win?
Even. Yeah. It's like your children. One day you'll find out. You don't really love one more than the other. You should. You do, but you would never admit it.
Yeah, that's all.
But they're all special.
Yeah, it's special being up in the booth, but it'd be special on the sidelines too.
They're both. You're just happy. you're just happy to be there.
Yeah.
So from Dave on the Facebook wall, what made the 07 and 13 Grey Cup wins memorable was listening to you and Carm. Well, thank you, Dave. And that reminds me of the 09, because when we got back, the people that were on that broadcast were the Stampeders crew, because it was in Calgary. And it was Jock Peterson, Jock Wilson,
Mark Steven, Greg Peterson. Sorry, I'm getting rattled thinking about it. And I had Rider fans tweeting me and emailing me that were mad because they're listening on Rider Radio to these guys laughing at the fact the Riders just blew it in the biggest gaffe of Grey Cup history. And they're being laughed at. And they wanted post-game from Rider Radio. They wanted to hear from Ken Miller. And they didn't get it on the national broadcast. Yeah. And that's what's wrong with what they do now.
Yep.
But it's being run by business people, not broadcasters. And they don't understand how important that is to the fans.
So important. It's so key. I mean, and in a market when you lose, you want that reaction. In a market when you win, you want a different reaction. It's a different broadcast depending on what market
exactly.
You're in. Anyways.
You want the home team.
You want the home team.
But that's why I'm not slamming TSN. I'm not slamming Corus. I'm not slamming anybody. I was lucky to be able to call those games, lucky to have those calls that people still talk about,
yep.
And we'll be very lucky to be able to tell those stories in this book when it comes out. Before we go off the air, you've been doing a lot of work here. I'm going to let you announce this.
No, just it's a Grey Cup picks. Just want to summarize all the picks from the week, and I hope I got everybody's picks right.
I think you did.
So if you want to start firing them up, Clark.
There we go. Look at that outstanding panel of guests on this show.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
You go ahead.
No. Just so you can see, I mean, I guess we have audio listeners. So Travis Lulloy takes the Hamilton Tiger Cats. Nick Lewis takes the Hamilton Tiger Cats. Wes Cates, the Bombers. Sean Lemon, the Bombers. And Chris Best, the Bombers.
Moving on.
And then our insiders, so Marshall Hamilton's got the Tiger Cats, Mike Abumetric takes the Bombers, Derek Myers takes the Tiger Cats, and Kelly Rempel and John Frenzy both take the Bombers.
I think the Lynch is taking the Riders.
Yeah, he would take the Riders if he could. I should have put a Rider logo.
It's what you hear the guys laughing on the other side of the wall here.
I should have put a Rider
Lynch
logo.
Has the Riders to win in the Grey Cup on Sunday.
And you have?
I've got the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. My heart's telling me the Bombers. My head's telling me the Ticats, but I'm going to go with my heart because I always do.
And I pick
to my own peril quite regularly, but yeah. I will go with my heart.
Yeah.
You?
Hamilton.
Okay. So. Well, this has been outstanding, and the star, as far as I'm concerned, has been Clark.
Yeah, great week.
He's the one that lined up all these Grey Cup guests. So, killing it. Paul's here. Are we having a meeting? What's up?
Yes, we are.
Uh-oh. Meeting time. Enjoy Grey Cup, everybody. We'll see you back here Monday, 10 a.m. Central, as we will recap the 107th Grey Cup. Go Bombers. We'll see you on Facebook Live.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.